turn it over to Andrea for roll call.
Director Shore.
Present.
Director Zindel.
Here.
Director Perezio.
Here.
Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews.
By telephone, I'm here.
Vice President Borja.
Here.
And President DeLauro.
Here. Next on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. I will turn to Director Zindel if he would lead us in the pledge.
Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next is the approval of the agenda. I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions? Okay. Move forward to public comments. Do we have anyone in the audience that would like to make a public comment at this time on an item that is not on the agenda? And you are allowed to speak no more than 3 minutes. And we will start with Erica, and then we will move on. Erica? You can identify yourself and...
Madam President, honorable board members, my name is Erica Felci, and I am the governmental projects manager for CBAG. I really just came because you may have read it in the paper, but we wanted to deliver the news in person because we're very excited about the project that you're such an important partner on, and that's CV Link. In January, we went to Sacramento, and the California Transportation Commission gave us the green light for our segmenting plan and our construction plan for the project, which means we have the go-ahead to build 17 miles in 2020 and more miles, hopefully, added on to that. Because I think, and I think many of us think, that 20 miles in 2020 has a much better ring to it. But we're getting there. We're getting there. They also, what they call allocated funding, which means they gave us the green light to start drawing down some of the funding sources that we had already secured to the tune of about $29 million. All this is really good news. We'll have construction underway here in the cities of Palm Springs, Palm Desert, La Quinta, Indio, Coachella, and then touching a little bit into the unincorporated areas in the Eastern Coachella Valley. So you will be sure to get an invitation to our groundbreaking ceremonies as they come on board. We'll be going out to bid here pretty soon, getting a construction team on board, mostly in Palm Desert, and then certainly with CBAG too. So we're very excited. It's all good momentum, and I just wanted to deliver the good news in person. So thank you for your partnership on the project.
Thank you, Erica. Okay, next we have another public comment. Introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shannon Shea. I'm the executive director of Elder Love USA. We're a nonprofit located here in the Rapp Foundation building. I heard from a little birdie that the district foundation was looking at possibly funding or helping nonprofits with their audits, their financial audits. It's my, as the director of almost 4 years of this nonprofit, that's the one thing that's holding me back from getting a lot of funding, is I don't have the money to pay for a full-blown audit, financial audit. And a lot of the foundations, including your own, including Allen Foundation, they all require audited financials, even with your letter of intent, your letter of interest. So I'm stopped from getting a lot of what I feel would be accessible funding for my organization, which is helping seniors remain safe in their home by providing affordable in-home care for our middle-class folks that don't qualify for any kind of county or city aid and don't have any money to pay the equivalent for-profit rate. So I know that I could have access to a lot of funds and be able to help thousands of seniors if I could afford an audited financial. So if that's true, I would just like to say yes, please, please, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to make public comment? No? Very good. Then we will move on to the next item, E, the consent agenda. Okay, so we have several items on the consent agenda. We have the board minutes, the financials, the audit selection company, London Guntry, and the lease assignments. Thank you. Is me up until then.
I would move that the consent agenda be adopted.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Is there any comments? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
And any no's?
Aye.
Okay, I just remembered that we have Mark Matthews, our other director, who is joining us on the phone. So I'm sorry, Mark, that I hadn't remembered that. Apologize for that. So, and for that reason, because we do have a remote person, we need to do roll call. So, Andrea?
There's actually also a lease agreement on here, so it has to be remote.
Thank you.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Zendo?
Yes.
Director Forestio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Borja?
Yes.
President DeLara?
Yes. Thank you. We'll move on to the next item. Item F, Desert Healthcare District CEO report. I will turn it over to our CEO.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to report on three key things and also highlight how busy our staff is. Number one, we're working on the municipal services review by LAFCO, which they have hired a consultant, and we are completing the questionnaire to provide all the information that LAFCO is requesting from us. The deadline to complete all that work is this Friday. Part of what we are doing is also related to the certification as a certified healthcare district. So there's a number of things that we are submitting to that are related to the certification, and having a municipal services review completed is one of the requirements for the certification. There are about 45 items that are required to obtain the certification, and we're working on all of them. Some of those are related to key district policies, and the Board Staff Communication and Policy Committee, which will be meeting later this week, will be reviewing some of those policies to update them. We want to complete this application process for the certification by March 31st. With regards to LAFCO, Chris and I had the opportunity to meet with the new chief executive, his name is Gary Thompson. The main purpose of having a meeting with him was to introduce ourselves, make LAFCO familiar with the work that we're doing at the district, all the good work that we're doing, all the plans that we have for the future, all the opportunities and also the challenges, particularly related to the of tax revenues from the an exit area in our district. So we had also a conversation about the growing needs in that community. One of the key advices that we got from him, or one of the key comments that I want to make the board aware, was related to some of the requests that we get as the healthcare district, and he reminded us of our limitations given the charter and our mission. And he says that if he finds in a municipal services review that we're funding things that are unrelated to our mission, that it would raise red flags. So that's something that I want all of us to be always aware, because we get many requests that are outside of the scope of the healthcare district.
Did he have something in mind?
Did he give you some examples?
One of the examples was water infrastructure.
What's that?
Water infrastructure. So there is a water district. So when there is a request for a water infrastructure project, that should be something that should be advanced through the water district, not through the healthcare district. So that was one example.
But what we did to supply water would not have been a red flag, would it?
I believe it would not, because it was small in the size of the funding and the scope, and it was also in partnership, so it's difficult to delineate how much of our funding goes to what. But that's something that they are aware and that they look to the different districts, not to go beyond their mission and what they're restricted to.
Does, by mission, do you mean our stated mission or by the legal definition of healthcare districts
by
law?
By the legal definition of healthcare districts.
And I understand that's overly broad.
Well, it is, but what Conrado is talking about is we are a special district. We're a healthcare district. We're not a water district. So we always have to be mindful of our purpose under the Enabling Act. And we have very broad powers, and we can do lots of things, but we ought to make sure that there are, the nexus is healthcare related and is something that we do. We don't build water systems, for example. There's water districts in this valley, but that's their responsibility and obligation. And LAFCO oversees this and makes sure that districts don't interfere with other districts, because we are a special district, a public agency.
Do they have a definition that they've given us, or parameters? Literally a definition of healthcare that they understand?
I think that there's parameters are basically codified in the Enabling Acts of each of the special districts.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We just need, it simply was, I think, pointing out to Conrado and Chris that this is things that we need to be mindful of as we're going out and doing good things for the community.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask a question as it relates to the issues we had a few months ago with the people in the East Valley who are having serious water problems. Did we cross a line there? Were we inside the boundary? Because that's a health, that was water consumption and a health issue at a very practical level. Where would that issue have fallen in their mind's eye?
So I want to believe that we did not cross the line. It was an emergency act, and it was to ensure that we're keeping them healthy.
And had adequate drinking water,
and it was a partnership with the county, and there are other agencies involved. So we were not isolated in that case to be supporting a community that needs to remain healthy.
Thank you.
Okay, I will first Director Rogers, and then Director Zendel.
And Jeff, can you just off the cuff give us a rattle on what some of the areas that healthcare districts can get involved in?
Well, I couldn't limit it, okay? I would point you to the Health and Safety Code Section 32121, which has enumerated powers of healthcare districts. And there's all kinds of things that we can do. And so, things that we maybe at first blush wouldn't look like it was necessarily healthcare related, but as we look at it a little more closely, we realize that it does have healthcare benefits to the community. What he's talking about, though, is that we want to be careful and mindful that we're not stepping on the toes of another special district that has the legal responsibility and obligation in a particular area to provide infrastructure services like water or sewer or something like that. Okay, and I think we'll be mindful of this in the future to make sure that we can bring it to your attention if we think that there's something that we need to be more aware of.
Okay. Director Zendel?
Conrado, is it fair to say then that he, as the new CEO, was giving you a spiel that he gives to all districts as sort of a, and this is something we're going to be looking at all districts with, as opposed to, gee, I heard you guys were doing something, you might want to think twice about it.
It might be. I don't think that he was looking at our district particularly with a special eye. Yeah. I think it was a general conversation.
Okay. And it falls within this context of this obligation that LAFCO has to do municipal reviews of special districts. And so it's our turn. But I think you're correct, Dr. Zendel, that it is that what we're talking about here is something that is not unique to us. It's something that is shared with everybody.
Any other board members have a question or a comment? Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on this item before we move to the next item, number two?
I do not, thank you.
Very good.
All right. So the next item is related to the community health needs assessment, which we just launched. We had a kickoff meeting last week. We have one additional funder, so we have raised so far $100,000 to help underwrite this effort. So First Five Riverside was the new funder, or the latest one to join this effort. We had a meeting of the steering committee, which is composed by representatives from Borrego, the California Endowment, First Five, VIMC, IEHB, UCR School of Medicine, Riverside County Department of Public Health, Department of Mental Health, and the Coachella Valley Economic Partnership. So it was a productive meeting. So the next steps in the implementation of the community health needs assessment will be identifying what are the health indicators that we want to analyze and to have a meeting of the community advisory committees, which is going to be very broad with participation from the entire Coachella Valley. We're planning to have at least 14 areas where we're going to have community meetings. And finally, we have a press release.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part about the, is it 14 community?
14, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to have a press release with investment raise on March 19th. We had one scheduled for the day we had the meeting, and it coincided with the day that President Trump was landing in spring, so we decided to reschedule that. Okay. And the last item.
Before we move on, I would like to ask if any members have any questions or comments on number two. Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on number two?
I do not. Thank you very much for asking.
Okay. Quick comment.
Yes.
Thank you to all the partners that have jumped in, not only to fund, but to sit on the steering committee. It'll make a big deal, and it'll make a bigger impact in the long run. So we appreciate your support in this project. And thank you, Gonzalo, for having all of those meetings with all the experts. We appreciate your work. Very good.
Staff. Thank you. Director.
So on the Assembly Bill 617 that we have mentioned here before, we finally had the first community steering committee, and President De Lara and me as CEO have been appointed to serve in that community steering committee. Alejandro is also serving as
alternate
when I'm not available. So we have been recognized as a thought leader and actor throughout the Coachella Valley, and I think that's why we have been invited to participate in that steering committee. As a background, the AB 617 was a law that was introduced by Assemblymember Garcia, and it was signed into law in 2017 by Governor Brown, and is to develop a new community-focused program to more effectively reduce exposure to air pollution and preserve public health. There are five central components of the AB 617 mandate. Those are community-level air monitoring, state strategy and community-specific emission reduction plans, and accelerated review of retrofit pollution control technologies on industrial facilities subject to cap and trade, enhanced emission reporting requirements, and increased penalty provision for polluters. So in addition to that, the Air Board can also direct additional grant funding to communities to determine what would be the best strategies that adapt to and respond to the needs of those communities. I had the opportunity to meet with South Coast Quality Management District and the Riverside Department of Public Health. They had questions about healthcare services, they had questions about health impact, and they also wanted to address the limitations that they had in the implementation of AB 617 and how important it was to have both the district and the Department of Public Health sitting at the table with them to help brainstorm and address any health issues. One of the concerns that was elevated by the community in preliminary meetings was having some health impact assessment. So we talked about the work that we're doing with the community health needs assessment, plus the work that we approved at the last board meeting to have health impact and some data gaps analyses that will be informing this process.
Thank you. I would like to ask Director Borja if you would be my alternate. Very good. So now I've taken care of that. And I would like to open it up for any questions or comments from any directors. Okay, no questions. Director Matthews, do you have any comments or questions?
No, but I'm sure you as members will report back to us any developments. That's the only comment I have. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next item, number G. The Desert Regional Medical Center CEO report.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
The first item I wanted to address with the board tonight is the communication that was recently released by the Department of Justice on February 11th that announced that Tenet Desert Regional Medical Center entered into a $1.4 million settlement with the DOJ. This was a no admission of wrongdoing settlement that involved a QTAM allegation that dated back to the 2014-2017 period of time. To the allegation made related to a portion of outpatient implantable loop recorders. You're going to have to keep me honest on the clinical. An implantable loop recorder is an alternative to an externally worn device, such as a Holter monitor, that allows cardiologists to do remote monitoring of an individual's heart rate for an extended period of time. It was alleged that the implantable loop recorders could have been a higher level of care than necessary when an alternative Holter monitor may have been considered. So there was that was the concern, is whether it should be an external monitor or it was an internal monitor. Prior to the filing of that QTAM action, the hospital and the medical staff had identified adoption of this relatively new technology, and they were in the process of taking steps to ensure that the medical record documentation contained clear documentation as to the decision-making process and the procedure appropriateness. We currently have in place a process to ensure that both the preoperative workup, which is generally done in a physician's office, has been provided and transmitted to the hospital record and verified for the appropriateness before the procedure is allowed to proceed. So that was kind of the core of what had occurred through the review. So it was a question of external monitors versus internal monitors. Since these are outpatient loop recorder procedures, a lot of the documentation is contained in the private physician office record, and we needed to make sure that that material is transmitted over to the facility and verified before proceeding with the procedure. So those steps are in place and were put in place several years ago.
Okay. Director Zendel?
Am I right in assuming that the decision to put an internal versus external monitor on it is left up to the physician and that the hospital has no role in that?
It is a physician-driven decision, but I will do a however. You know, however, since we do, the physician bills the professional side, the hospital bills the technical side, we do want to make sure that the records contain the information necessary to show that the procedure is appropriate. And we do have a lot of procedures where that is the case. The actual workup takes place in the physician's outpatient setting that we need to clear that we have that information before proceeding.
Question.
But yes, you are correct. It is a physician decision.
You can go first.
On the on internal versus external.
Director Shore?
Ms. Finney, how many cases were incorporated in this settlement?
You know, I don't have that level of detail.
Director Rogers?
My understanding is that this procedure is ordered by the physician and not the hospital. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
Hospitals in California, there's the corporate prohibition against the practice of medicine. So everything done in a hospital has to be done under a physician order or a medical staff approved protocol.
Okay, on this particular item, I'll call you in a minute. On this particular item, is there any other questions or comments from the board? Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on this particular topic on her, on Michelle's report?
I do not.
Okay, and I do have someone from the public that would like to speak.
Yeah, I just want to add more information because I work in that kind of area, so I can probably fill in a lot of blanks. But I don't understand.
Excuse me, please introduce yourself.
My name is Hank Kudrow. I'm an RN. I work at Desert Region Medical Center. I actually focus in a lot of practice. I work everywhere in the hospital, mm-hmm. but bottom line is I've been a nurse for 40 years, so I could pretty much do it all. But the bottom line is my main focus right now is One Central, and I do deal with the loop recorder thing sometimes. And one of the main reasons why they do loop recorders is because it's a requirement by the insurance company. So I'm really not understanding why the penalty. I mean, I'm standing up for DRC. And the reason is because I have patients who will sometimes go to Brady spells. And as a nurse, I go, oh, it's obvious they need a pacemaker, you know, doing it that long. And I'll bring it up to a doctor. And some of the insurance companies don't allow for pacemakers to be placed just because they're showing it as their inpatient and they're showing heart rates go as low as 20s, 30s. Or they'll even have sinkhole episodes, so coming for which is fainting spells. Doctors Indull and Carroll, I'm sure, are familiar with that. Bottom line is the sinkhole episode is like a fainting episode. So we have a good number with our population of people coming in for sinkhole episodes. So they'll come into the hospital, they'll be placed on monitors, and as nurses, we recognize the arrhythmias and low heart rates and stuff like that. We'll tell the doctor about it. Okay. And in the past, the old-fashioned way is, oh yeah, they need a pacemaker. But because of the way some insurance companies work, they'll say, oh no, you can't place a pacemaker until you prove it. And that is where the loop recorder comes into play. The external part, because I've dealt with that previously as well, is a nightmare. Because they keep coming off, the doctor is not able to see what they want to see on the patient, cardiac-wise. So to me, I would think if I were the doctor, I'm always going to be ordering a loop recorder. So that way there I could confirm this patient needs a pacemaker. So therefore, for those who are not aware what this is all about, I still don't understand where the penalty came into play. Because the way the doctors are being pressured on proving why they're going to do the next procedure, which in this one, the outcome would be a pacemaker if needed, you can't prove it unless you do the loop recorder first.
So thank you very much for your comment.
I appreciate it.
Okay, is there any other comments from the audience? Comments?
Madam President,
thank you. Yes. We have
I just have another question. Going forward, are there, other than the record-keeping requirements that you described, are there any other requirements imposed on the hospital by the settlement, by the government?
There is not.
None, thank you.
No.
Okay, do you have any other
actually,
items?
The requirements for the record-keeping that we've put in place isn't required by the settlement.
Okay, well, thank you.
From abundance of caution, we need to make sure that the record documentation has the clear line of thought and treatment plan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you continue with your report?
A couple other items. We did launch our longitudinal patient record. We started bringing it on live in the emergency room first. And from those of you that are familiar with EHRs, emergency health records, what a longitudinal record allows us to do is bring into our medical records information that may be on the Manifex MedX health exchange system. This can include records from physician offices, pharmacies, other hospitals, some physician office practices that feed into the health exchange. So the doctors will get an alert that will say there is some records on this individual, then the physician can go in and so can the nurses. They can review what that information is and make a determination if it is important to the care that's being provided in that particular episode. Another item I wanted to share with you is we did complete our family medicine residency ACGME application, and we are scheduled for our site review in a couple of weeks. And again, this goes to the insourcing of the Family Medicine Residency Program under Desert Regional Medical Center sponsorship. Previous to this time, the program was under the sponsorship of UC Riverside. Flu is going strong. It's actually outpaced last year so far. So our positive A and B testing is up about 70%. Last year at this time we had 314 positive cases, and so far we're up to 534 positive cases. March is usually our highest year, or our highest month. So we'll have to see how that progresses. You know, obviously we are keeping close tabs on coronavirus and all of the recommendations that are in place for coronavirus. As of today, across the U.S., there have been 14 confirmed cases. None of those cases have resulted in death, and there are no reported cases in the county of Riverside. But we do participate in pretty much daily update calls on what recommendations are in this regard. And then my last item is, as we continue to host the community wellness events, we had 9 programs in the latter part of January, beginning of February, and had about approximately 400 individuals that attended those various healthcare related lectures. And we participated in 3 events where we manned the wellness booth and provided care to the community.
Thank you for your report. Any questions or comments from the directors? Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not, thank you.
Are there any comments from the public?
Yeah, I wanted to supplement the report. My name is Ezra Kaufman. I'm a district president. I took this off of Tenet's latest submission to the Securities and Exchange Commission. In September 2016, our THSMI subsidiary entered into a non-prosecution agreement with the Department of Justice's Criminal Division Fraud Section and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Georgia. The non-prosecution agreement requires, amongst other things, that we and THSMI, and there's 5 provisions. Number 2 is retain an independent compliance monitor to assess, oversee, and monitor our compliance with the obligations under the non-prosecution agreement. The non-prosecution agreement was originally scheduled to expire on February 1st, 2020, 3 years from the date on which the monitor was retained. However, the Department of Justice subsequently extended the expiration date of the non-prosecution agreement by 9 months to November 1st, 2020, following its determination that we had breached Tenet. The reporting obligations under the terms of the non-prosecution agreement. Second, I had a question, and that is that in its latest submission to the Office of State Healthcare Planning and Development, hospital administration, other direct expenses went from 2017 to 2018 at Desert Regional from $8.5 million to $46.3 million. When I look up these accounts, they're the utility bills. Gas, electric, telephone, insurance, licensure, outside training sessions, travel and recruiting. And I have a question, is this a trend? Are we to expect this kind of increase going into the future so that the valuation that we've put on the hospital is incorrect? I've noticed that if I look at 9 other Tenet hospitals south of San Francisco, there's a similar aggregate change from $45 million to $272 million. At Modesto alone, it was $10 million to $80 million. Is this like something that we should expect at Desert Regional going into the future continually?
Okay, thank you for your comments. Okay, is there, are you finished with your report, Michelle? Very good. Thank you very much for your report. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the Finance, Legal, Administration, and Real Estate Committee. I skipped an item. This is number 8, the Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board, and Director Rogers.
It's my turn to give the report, although Les is much more eloquent than I, and he's a very wonderful representative to the Governing Board as a physician. He has very astute remarks that many of us might miss. At the last Hospital Governing Board meeting, We received an annual report, which was very interesting, from the CEO, Ms. Finney. The board always looks at leapfrog scores, and we get updates on how the hospital is making attempt to improve those. One of my concerns is that OB admissions is going down, and it has something to do with the birth rate, I guess. And so I'm always, if you're at the hospital ever and you hear a bell ring, it means a baby's been born, and I love to hear that bell. Anyway, you know, I'd love to hear some ideas about how we can keep up our OB rate. Ms. Finney reported that they're looking at having an urgent care facility in Palm Springs somewhere, and I think that this is something that we've always advocated ever since I've been on the hospital board. She's reported in the past that there's an emergency room, emergency department expansion, and that's going to be completed March 20th, and that's good news. And she already reported on the UC Riverside Family Practice Residency Program, which is an agenda item tonight that we'll discuss further. Anything else that I missed, Les?
I would just add, the board spent a few minutes really honoring the life of Dr. David Duffner, who was a former chief of surgery at Desert Regional Medical Center and an amazing orthopedic surgeon at both Desert Regional and Eisenhower. And as has been acknowledged, Dr. Duffner ran for the board 3 years ago and didn't make it by a very small number of votes. But it really is a tragic loss to the community, not only because of him and his talent and the kind of person he was, but the whole idea that there are people who are addicted to opiates that are walking around trying to get opiates, and between that and access to firearms, it's really dangerous for physicians and other people. But that was talked about, and I wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Lance.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from board members on Director Rogers' report? Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on this report?
I do not.
Very good. Moving on to the next item is the Finance, Legal, Administration, and Real Estate Committee. And Director Matthews, I'm sure if you were here, you would say that the minutes are attached, and that there's also the District and Retirement Protection Plan Investment Report for fourth quarter of 2019 also attached. And if you have any additional comments that you wanted to share about the report, Director Matthews, other than bringing attention to the fact that it's included.
No, it's there. I do want to make one comment for those in the public that, or anyone who doesn't realize, this is a retirement plan that's a pre-lease with Tenant and has been around quite a long time. And there's two remarkable things about it. One, how long employees at Desert Hospital stay on the job. It's amazing. After over 20 years, we're just starting to see some retirements trickle in. The other good news is as of the end of last year, when the reporting period here, is we have better funds than we've ever had in terms of returns on investments to make sure that the district is not exposed in a large way to the liabilities of this. So that's all I have. Do you need a vote to accept this?
It's actually an information item, so thank you very much for the information.
Okay.
And are there any questions or comments from any of the directors? Okay, so you have no questions, Director Matthews? Okay, so we will move on to the next item. The program committee, turning it over to the chair of that committee, Director Perez Gill.
We
I didn't know I was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will turn it over to Donna, our programmer.
Oh, okay. Well, the minutes are there. The program committee, if you have any questions. Also, there's the funding request update that some changes on the at the next program committee meeting, the next board meeting. Otherwise,
I have a question.
Okay, very good, thank you. And we have a question from Director Zendel.
On page 186, Donna, in the red area, it refers to being made aware of the district hold on capital grants. Could you, I know there was a hold, but I thought that that was sort of during an interim period of getting things together. Is that hold still exist, and yes, have we talked about that?
We haven't talked about it. It still is on hold, and it can also be changed. The last board-approved grant policy had that in there, and it was approved about a year ago, and that was included in there. Still no capital requests. So,
I guess my understanding at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that that was a temporary thing because of the recent expansion to the east and clarifying where we were with funds. And also the rating system of our grants and the program grant process and the committee. If that's going to continue on, I think I'd like to see a discussion of it because, again, maybe I was wrong, but my understanding was that was temporary.
It most likely was temporary, and it came about for two reasons. One was the money that the previous board. When the funds that we had put into Roy's Desert Resource Center, and then that closed, so our $800,000 to $1 million investment went away, as well as we were getting some other requests for capital improvements, and that there was no other funders that were looking to help fund those capital improvements. We were going to be all in again with this one particular request grantor for like the fourth time in a row to build out clinics. And when there was any money available. So it was kind of on hold in that respect. But the biggest one was investing in capital projects that were then going away and we lost our investment.
Okay.
But that was temporary, so.
So I'm uncomfortable with the blanket banning of all capital projects. I think in general, maybe capital projects are not a good investment, but I'd hate to see a really worthwhile one not even get past the LOI, whatever it is, because we have a blanket ban. So could the program committee then look at that again and maybe bring it back to the board and talk to the CEO and how we want to do it? I mean, I don't want to speak just for myself, but.
I think that's a good idea to evaluate it. Since there was no deadline or period established, that's good to see where we're at now. Is there any other comments or questions from board members on the report or on the particular topic of the capital projects?
Are we on the program committee?
Yes, we're still on the program committee.
I had a question.
Okay,
and I'm trying to figure out, in terms of our budget, what funds have been expended and promised and what funds are available through the end of June, which is coming up. And I know that we have a restriction on being able to invite nonprofits to apply for funding, but I think that there's a difference between invitation and education. I'm wondering if staff has addressed that at any time.
Well, right now, it was $3.5 million that was allocated for this fiscal year. We have booked almost $680,000, so we have $2 million left to grant out. We do have some grants in the pipeline. In fact, Megan just $1 million, right?
About $810,000 pending. $810,000 pending discussion in program committee and staff review.
And these are some new ones that have come in.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any discussion about the fine line between inviting nonprofits to apply and educating the public in terms of the availability of the funding?
I believe we're going to have a workshop on that topic, right? is that what we talked about last month, was to have a better understanding of how we could get the information out, or we as board members to have better understanding?
Yes, that's what we would do.
Do we have a restriction as a government entity or as a nonprofit that we have to expend all of the funds by the end of the fiscal year? Is that a legal requirement?
No.
We've just always been on zero-based budgeting.
Which I would like to also continue that tradition as well. Okay, is there any other questions or comments on this topic? Director Rogers, did you have anything else to ask about the program committee report? Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on this item?
I do not, thank you.
Very good. We will move on to the next item, which is old business. Is there anything on old business? There's nothing on old business according to the agenda. Is there anything we want to... Okay. For the CEO, there is no, so we'll move on to the next item, new business. And the first item on that is University of Riverside Family Residency Program Report, a CEO.
So at the last board meeting, staff was directed to bring back a report on the UCR School of Medicine Residency Program that we had in the past. That was a grant to UCR approved by the Board of Directors in September of 2011. It was a five-year grant at $5 million, so $1 million per year. The grant expired on December 31st, 2016. Of the $5 million, only $4 million were disbursed to UCR. They didn't use all the money, and they actually had unexpended about $415,000 that they returned to the district. The net allocation or the net disbursement that we had was about $3.5 million. In addition to the grant that we funded UCR, the district and Desert Regional Medical Center agreed to build out a family medical clinic at Las Palmas Medical Plaza and enter into a 10-year lease. The district paid $1.3 million for a build-out of the clinic, to which the RMC agreed to prepaid lease reduction for the cost of the build-out. Amendment number 4 to the hospital lease agreement allows for a reduction of the prepaid lease at a 3.5-1 ratio, which equates to $4.5 million. So ultimately, we pretty much spend no money because if you do the math that we paid $3.5 million to UCR, and then we spend another million in the build out, and we received back $4.5 million in return, so it netted about zero. So it was about a zero balance grant that we had with UCR.
Okay, do you have a question, Director Rogers?
I'm having a problem with fuzzy math in my head about how that would work. We're talking about a prepaid lease reduction. Is that an asset or a liability on the balance sheet?
That is an asset.
It's an asset.
It only has to do with if, remember when we're talking about the new lease and if we do it early and how much it would be lowered because there are 8 years left?
Right.
That has to do with the remainder of the lease. Well, this reduces that by $4.5 million.
But at the end of the lease, do we get the $4.5 million back?
No. What it does is it reduces if the lease were to terminate prematurely. It would mean less that we would have to pay back in that process.
Yeah.
So it reduced that prepaid lease amount that would need to be
It's a good thing.
Okay, so I give you a dollar, you give me back a dollar, and then we're even? Is that what we're saying?
Basically.
No, you gave me a dollar, basically, you gave me back $3.50.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's it. You got it right.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments, Director Borja?
This might be more for Michelle. But are the physical needs met of the UCR School of Medicine? Is there more that needs to be built out? Are you okay? Like, is there like next steps to this?
The lease is completely built out. We have talked about some future expansion plans. And we have another lease with you that's it's above the current family medicine clinic that's already pretty well laid out for primary care.
Who owns the property?
There is space to expand over time as the program goes.
Director Zendel?
Just for clarification, since I think there's some terms being used that aren't quite accurate, there's the family practice program, residency program, and then there's the UCR School of Medicine, which used to run the family practice program, but as of June won't. The family practice clinic will still be there, and the family practice residents of DRMC will still be practicing out of there, but they won't be affiliated with UCR anymore.
Who owns the property?
We own everything.
Okay.
I just don't care.
Do we have any other comments or questions from directors? Director Rogers.
Well, I just want to say a good word for the UC Riverside Family Practice Program. The residents that they have there are very committed. People make appointments with the residents who are practiced there for 3 years, and the residents will no longer be in the valley, and I just think that's a great loss for our community that we couldn't find a place for the residency program to reside here in Coachella Valley, that they're moving to UC Riverside someplace. Another hospital is taking them over. And the attendings who are employed by UC Riverside have to move, pull their children out of local schools. I just think it's a big disruption, and you know, I wish that there was a way that we could keep them in the valley.
I agree with you, but I believe that...
We need more family practice physicians, not less.
It's unfortunate. Do we have...
Well, you actually end up with more because now you will have an additional family practice program.
Yeah, but they won't be here.
Because we are continuing with a family practice program.
But we're not growing.
The attendings at the family practice program are attendings that are on the current medical staff that live in the community that would have to leave the community if they did not have us creating this family practice program.
I get it. I just want more. I want more family practice doctors locally. And
we agree.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from directors? Okay. Director Matthews, do you have any questions or comments on this item?
I do not. Thank you.
Very good. Is there any comments from the public? Very good. We'll move on to the next item, legal comments and reports, and we'll turn it over to our attorney.
Hey, Madam President, I have nothing to report this evening other than to say that the legislature is in session and the bills are still being introduced. So we'll have a little more next month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions from the board? Director Rogers.
Jeff, at some time in the future, would you give the board members, the directors, a copy of the legal code that allows... enables healthcare districts and what we're allowed to do?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
I will email you.
Wonderful.
The enabling act.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Any other questions from directors? Comments? Very good. We'll move on to the next item, director's comments, starting with director's comments. Director Zendel.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with something that actually Director Borja brought up last time, which I thought was good, and it kind of got addressed, but I don't think completely. Director Borja asked after the DRMC report, why don't we get reports from Eisenhower, and for that matter, maybe Loma Linda, other places that operate in the Valley? And of course, we have a special relationship with DRMC because they have a lease with us and the property, and so that's the nature of that report. But I do think there's an opportunity to involve especially Eisenhower and JFK to some extent, and maybe even Loma Linda, in making sure that the healthcare district is addressing the healthcare needs of the entire Coachella Valley. So maybe not in a formal report like is done now, but perhaps if the other directors agree, we could ask our CEO to look at ways that we could have better communication with the other hospitals and find a role and a method for them to let us know what they're doing and for them to hear what we're doing so that we can invite more communication.
So I think that as we work toward building that bridge with the three hospitals and maybe a fourth one, I would like to have more direction about what are the details that we want to ask of the hospitals. What information are we trying to obtain from their activities?
Well, my answer to that is I don't think we know what we don't know, and that I would start with just an open line of communication, letting them know what we're doing in case the people that are there now don't, and also hear what they're doing and look for opportunities to collaborate in a general way, rather than, you know, asking for pieces of information which we don't know what we want yet. I mean, well, please, other board members.
Okay, Director Rogers?
Well, I do know, if the laws haven't changed, Mr. Scott, that nonprofit hospitals are supposed to do a community needs health assessment, and maybe that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I know that Eisenhower does issue a written report to the community, and that might be interesting to hear.
You know, maybe they do a summary for their board.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would hope we're incorporating their needs assessment into our mega needs assessment, because again, it's the same Coachella Valley that is being served. Mm-hmm.
So, what I would like to propose is, because we don't know what we don't know, mm-hmm. is to set up an initial meeting and to look at maybe meeting twice a year, just to see where we start as a first meeting, determine what are our common issues, things that we could work on, and then have a follow-up meeting 6 months later to see where we're going, and then being able to really grow into maybe a quarterly meeting. But starting off with just scheduling a meeting and our CEO to be involved in that, just find out what they see as something that we could work with them and share information and to talk, to plan out community issues. But I think them knowing that we are interested in working with them, I think that's the first step, and I think it's a great idea for bringing it up, and it was actually on my list of things I was going to ask about, so thank you.
Director
Borja, about it.
Glad to report that first step has already taken place.
Thank you.
I met with the CEO at Eisenhower Medical Center. I met Donna and I went there. We had a visit with them and with their CEO, with their CFO, with some other members of their staff. We had a very good conversation about the needs in Coachella Valley, the work of the district. We laid out the information about how we're going to do the community health needs assessment, how we want this to be a community-driven, community-informed process, and to create a long-term plan for health improvement that would definitely have an impact on Eisenhower understanding the long-term needs of Coachella Valley. We actually invited them to join the steering committee, and to this day we have received no response from them. So we have approached them, and we have received very limited response.
Yeah, I think your approach is the right way of contacting them and scheduling that first meeting, but scheduling something that will be a couple of months out and then finding out from them what they see as a benefit for having the training. And something that is that we would include Michelle to that meeting as well, so that they know that they are being invited to participate in this conversation as a group, and hopefully they'll see some benefit if we give them the opportunity to tell us how we could help them.
Yeah, they will be part of the community advisory committee that we're putting together. They will receive the invitation. I have also reviewed their needs assessment. All the nonprofit hospitals have to have a needs assessment by law. And there are some limitations on how the federal government and the state impose how those needs assessments are conducted. So it's very limited in the scope of what they find and what they recommend.
Thank you. Director Matthews, do you have any director reports? Director comments, I'm sorry.
I do not, thank you.
I would like to make
Okay, very good. Starting with Director Borja, who caught my attention first.
Thank you. I just have a quick director's report of different things I've been up to throughout the district.
That's reports, though. Did you have a comment before we move on to reports?
I have a comment under new business, under director's comments and reports, an informational item.
Okay,
I don't know if I'm out of sequence or...
We're starting with comments.
Comments. Given our evolution and our migration to the east, and given the overall impact of air quality from the Salton Sea, I wonder if there's some way we can develop a, for lack of a better terminology, a monitoring mechanism about what's going on at the state level in coordination with local authorities as it impacts the implementation of change in the Salton Sea area, as opposed to just reading it in the newspaper for the first time. Just wanting to escalate the level of significance of it so that it's in the forebrain of our world rather than in the back brain of our world. Just a thought for consideration.
Thank you.
Both for Mr. Scott and for our CEO, please.
Very good. Director Borja?
I have a report.
Yes, okay. We're ready for reports now.
I was able to join the National Alliance of Filipino American Inc. at their 10th annual gala in Palm Springs. And some important information to share with the community is that they host every third Saturday of the month at St. Teresa's from 2 to 4 p.m. a free health clinic for anyone to show up. It's every third Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. You can't miss them. Surprisingly enough, Dr. Russ, who's the doctor who participates with their clinic, has only missed one Saturday in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So they're an incredibly impressive operation that we have here locally in Palm Springs.
Wait, where is it again?
St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Palm Springs.
Third
Saturday of the month.
Third Saturday.
2 to 4 p.m.
And
St. Teresa's Catholic Church. NAFA, the National Alliance of Filipino American.
Oh, okay.
They're a Palm Springs-based mm-hmm. nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. I know student nurses are always looking for opportunities to help, so I'll pass
them
that
out
on.
There. Perfect. And they take all kinds of volunteers as well. We also met with Oasis Mobile Home Park residents and just Oasis residents in general last week. We were invited by Leadership Council and some of the residents from the Oasis Park. We got to hear some of the pretty intense living situations around water issues, housing issues, animal trash. It was a very hard meeting to leave. We were able to remind the residents that the one thing the district can do is to continue to hear and meet with them about their circumstances and their situations. We can continue to make relationships. We can continue to inform the relationships that we have with our supervisors at the county level, our congresspeople at the federal level, our state representatives at the state level. We can continue to be vocal advocates to ensure that people's needs are met and that they have some kind of response given to their very urgent needs of just straight up cleanliness, water, housing. We traveled to Sacramento last Thursday and Friday for the Association of California Healthcare Districts. And to my colleagues, I will share that they had a lots of different interesting things to learn about, but one of the best panels was the panel around certification and why we should become a certified district. So I appreciate all the work staff is doing to help us get to that point. Certification allows us to have a lot of different outward expression in the community that we are a transparent district, we're to like we are trustworthy with people's funds, right? That we're doing good in our community, that we get audited. The everything, right? It's like a very nice stamp of outward approval to our community that we are a certified district. So I appreciate the work and I hope that we all continue to support Conrado and the staff as they move into certification. And then the last thing I'll share with the community is that there are a lot of physical activities to do. So if you have not gone out in the beautiful weather, please do so. There is a Becky Baker 5K for the Indio High School Cross Country Coach happening this Saturday at Indio High School. There's hiking trails that are open. The Indio Badlands trails will be open soon enough, sometime in March is what we were told. But there's biking paths all over. Every city has some nice biking paths. There's also local parks if none of that is your fancy. Just go outside. There's lots to do. The weather is great, and before it gets too hot, we should enjoy the amenities that we have.
Thank you for your report. Other board members who have reports? Director Matthews, do you have any report to share?
I do not, thank you.
Very good. Then informational items. Is there any informational items from board members? Staff? Okay. Then we have future agenda matters. Does anybody have any future agenda items that they would like to bring forth at this time? Board members?
No. Board members?
No. Staff? Director Matthews, do you have any future agenda item matters that you would like to bring forth?
No, thank you.
Very good. And staff direction and guidance, I think go forth and conquer. Okay. And I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
I second.
Okay. And we will adjourn at 6:40. Okay. Do you want to take a 5-minute break or do you want to move right into the next one? 5-minute break.